Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb, dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest, with all thine heart thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. I'd just like to just go verse by verse through this portion of Scripture this evening. Beginning with verse 29. Here we see that God sends a messenger. God sends his messenger. See that? It said the Spirit said to Philip, Go. Go near. Paul said to the Romans, he said, How shall they preach except they be sent? God sends forth his messenger. The Spirit said to Philip, he said, You go near and you join yourself to this chariot. Our Lord said, What man of you having, if he lost one sheep, does he not leave the 99 and go into the wilderness until he finds that one that's lost? And when he finds it, he puts it up on his shoulder, and he carries it home, and he tells everybody, Come and rejoice. Come and rejoice. Rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. And Almighty, the Spirit of God sends forth his messengers to every one of his sheep. Not one of them is going to be lost. Think of that Philippian jailer. I often think of him. I often think of that jailer. You know, back in those times, the jailer worked in the prison. He never left. That was his home. How's God's message of grace ever going to get to him? How's that ever going to happen? And yet God sends his men. There they are, singing and praising God in the middle of the night. He's cast them into the innermost part of the prison. Laid them fast, you know, laid their feet in the stocks. They're not going to. How's he going to get the message? God gets his message to his people. Not one will be lost. How about the thief on the cross? How about that thief hanging there on the cross? The one that both of them, we read, railed. They railed on our Lord Jesus Christ as they hung there. And then finally, something happened. Something happened to that one thief. And he said, Who are we? We deserve this. We deserve to be hanging here, but not this man. Lord, remember Remember me. Remember me. His attitude, something changed there, didn't it? His heart, his new heart. His, from one that went to rail on, now he calls him Lord. He calls him Master. Remember me. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. How about Zacchaeus? We could just go through the scriptures, couldn't we? There's Zacchaeus. And it says, when the Lord came, Zacchaeus, he's up there in a tree. He wants to see what this is all about. The Master's going to pass by. And it says, our Lord, when he came to the place, that place that had been determined from all eternity. And he looked up and he saw him. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. He's not going to miss one of his. We could go out throughout the scriptures. Some of you could tell the same story. Where did he find you? Where did he find you? When he brought you under the sound of the gospel and revealed Christ to you. Well, here we see that God sends forth his messengers, and his sheep are going to hear, they're going to hear his voice. Look at verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him. You see that? Philip ran. Boy, there's a, you know, when you run to something, there's a sense of urgency, isn't there? He ran to him. And why wouldn't we? These are matters of life and death. He ran to him. Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? Now listen, salvation is a heart work. No question about that. It's a work of grace in the heart. But how shall they believe? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? Heard. We preach the word. And the eunuch said to him, he said, how can I? How can I except some man should guide me? Some man should teach me. Now we live in a generation where information is just, it's right at our fingertips, isn't it? We don't ask questions anymore, do we? We get our phone out, we Google it, we just search it real quick, right? Well, and you know, I don't know. I know when I was in school, I didn't like to ask questions. You know, somebody might think we don't know everything if we ask questions, right? We tend to not ask questions. I tell the kids in my Sunday school class, I say, if you don't understand something, if you don't understand, you ask. And ask your pastor. Ask God. Ask God to reveal the truth to you. Seek the truth among God's people, where God's people gather. Seek him in his word. We're to seek the Lord. Turn with me to just a few scriptures. Turn back to Exodus chapter 12. Back in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 12. Ask. Now back here in Exodus 12, Moses had called all the people together, and he was telling the people about the Passover. He was explaining to them the Passover, and he said, you take that lamb, and you kill it, and you're going to take some hyssop, and you're going to dip it in the blood, and you're going to put that up there on the lintel, on the side post. And he said, the Lord's going to pass through the land, and he's going to smite the Egyptians. But listen, when he sees the blood, he's going to pass over your house. He's going to leap over your house. And he said, you're going to remember this. You're going to observe this as an ordinance. And look at verse 26. It says, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? What does this mean? What's going, and they're going to ask. You see that? He said, when your children shall ask you, what mean you by this service? Look at the answer. And look where it's Look where it's found. This isn't found on Google. This isn't found in a self-help book. It's found right here in God's Word. And it says this. It's the Lord's Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. The Lord who passed, listen, who passed over the children of Israel in Egypt. He smote the Egyptians. God's going to judge sin. He smote the Egyptians, but listen. He delivered our houses. He delivered every one of His people. What was the difference? They were under the blood. They were under the blood. Well, ask and then listen, right? Listen to what God's Word said. How can I understand this except some man should guide me? And He desired Philip, back in our text here, He desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. Look at another scripture with me. Turn to James. Turn to James chapter 1. Look at verse 5 of James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and listen, it shall be given. Ask, and it shall be given. Now back to our text. This gospel, where is it found? It's found in God's Word. That's our warrant right there. God's Word. Because look what he says there in verse 32. The place of the Scripture. The Scriptures. Okay? The place of the Scriptures which he read was this. The gospel is found in God's Word. It's found in the Scriptures. Think of all the events that took place in God's providence to bring this eunuch to this place. Now he'd been off to some kind of religious meeting, and he's coming back empty. He's got God's Word in his hand. He's got Isaiah. He's got Isaiah 53. And on top of that, God's got one of his messengers right there. People of this world would say, boy, he was lucky, wouldn't they? Isn't that what they would? Oh my goodness. Think about that. Think about God's providence. And there he is, reading God's Word. There's God's messenger, and he's going to declare the gospel to him. And I pray that the same would be true of us this evening. That we've gathered here together. We've got God's Word. That he'd be pleased to be among his people and bless us. Bless us from his Word, from his gospel. Now let's read on here. Look at verse 32. And the place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip. And he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the first thing we read here is about a lamb, about a sheep. Think about what God's Word says. What does the Scripture say about that lamb? And we can go all the way back in the Old Testament, back in Genesis chapter 4. We read that Abel brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. That lamb, it was to be without spot. It was to be without blemish. And then just a few chapters later, Isaac had been taught something about that lamb, hadn't he? Because there his daddy Abraham were walking along, and Isaac said, behold the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham replied, he said, God will provide himself a lamb. God will do it. God will do it. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the Lamb of God. He is God. And then we know that that lamb was offered unto God. God's the offended party in this matter. That lamb was offered unto God. That sacrifice was offered unto Him. And then we know this, that the Lord will provide. He will see to it. He provides Himself a lamb as a sacrifice. And He's going to redeem His people. He's going to honor His law. He's going to satisfy His justice. He's going to fulfill His covenant. And listen, He's going to glorify His Son and save His people. Nothing is left undone. That's what our Lord declared on the cross. It's finished. It's finished. Our song leader back home, he sings that song, it's finished. The battle is over. Oh, it's finished. It's finished. Well, John said this of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then back in our text, it says he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears. Here we see our Savior's willingness to suffer. His willingness to suffer unto God. His willingness to suffer for His people. And listen, he was all powerful. Look at Luke chapter 4. Turn back to Luke chapter 4. Look beginning with verse 25. This is our Lord speaking. He said, I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman there that was a widow. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. None of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And when all they in the synagogue, when these religious people heard this, They were filled with wrath, and they rose up to thrust him out of the city, and they led him under the brow. They were going to throw him over the hill, head first. But he passing through the midst of them. You see that? He went his way. His hour was not yet come. But then look at turn over to John chapter 18. When it comes to his people, look at John chapter 18. Look, begin with verse 3 of John 18. Judas then, having received the band of men, and the officers from the chief priests, the Pharisees, and come together with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said unto them, I'm he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as they said unto them, I'm he, they went backward and fell to the ground. And then they asked him again, whom seek ye? He asked him again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, he said, have I told you that I'm he? If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Let these of mine go their way. There he stands, in all his power. And you see his power. He said when he spoke, they fell backward. But he says, if you seek me, You let my people go. The Lord Jesus Christ had to suffer. He must needs have suffered. And he did it willingly. Luke 9, it says it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He must go. He must suffer in the room instead of his people. Back in Isaiah, we read it, he set his face like a flint. There's no turning back. No turning back. Well, back to our text here in Acts chapter 8. Verse 32. The place of the scripture read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shear. So opened he not his mouth. You know, when a person gets caught for doing something wrong, when they're guilty of something, they usually say they're sorry. I mean, that's typically what we do. But then, in time, we start coming up with a whole laundry list of reasons that we did what we did, trying to justify our actions. But you know, when a man's guilty, when a man's truly guilty, there's nothing to say. There's not a word to say. And my friends, our Lord, He's guilty. He's guilty. Because He's got my guilt. He's got my sin. He's got my shame put upon Him. And the guilt and sin and shame of all of His elect, of all time, was laid on Him. He opened not His mouth. He opened not His mouth. Guilty. Guilty. Well, let's read on in verse 33 here. We read in His humiliation, His judgment was taken away, and who shall declare His generation? For His life is taken from the earth. His humiliation. Think about how He was humiliated. Almighty God became a man. He became a man. He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. He became a man. He was arrested. He was bound. He was scourged. He was condemned to die. He was mistreated by those soldiers. In Isaiah, we read, He said, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He was mocked. He was spat upon. They placed that crown of thorns on His head. They hung Him on the cross between two common thieves. In His humiliation, listen, in His humiliation of being made sin. He was made sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You guys are familiar with that passage of Scripture. Let's turn over there. Let's just turn over there real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen, as he hung there, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was made sin. Almighty God made Him sin. He hath made Him. Almighty God hath made Him to be sin. Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, His elect people. The Lord Jesus Christ who knew no sin, but He was made sin by God the Father. But don't we love the rest of that? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Christ and Christ alone. Well, back to our text. Let's read on here in verse 33. In His humiliation, His judgment was taken away, and who shall declare His generation? For His life is taken from the earth. His life was taken in a most cruel way by the will of the Father. No man has ever suffered like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the eunuch answered, look at verse 34. The eunuch answered Philip and he said, I pray thee. Who's the prophet speaking of here? Is he speaking of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth. Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture. And he preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip, by the Spirit of God, did what I'm trying to do here, preach Christ from the Scriptures. From the Scriptures. Not you guys didn't come here to hear about social issues tonight. You didn't come here to hear man's wisdom or what's popular in religion right now. We want to hear about Christ and Christ alone. Nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said to the Galatians, he said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, other than that which we preached, let him be accursed. There is no other gospel. There's only one gospel, and that's the gospel concerning his Son, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And it pleased God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not entertaining. That's what's going on in most circles today, is nothing but a bunch of just entertainment. You turn on the TV. There's no time for that. There's no time. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Well, as they went on their way, look at verse 36. They went on their way and they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. Here's water. And listen, God sends His messenger. In this text, we see a seeking sinner reading God's Word. We see a message from the Scriptures declaring the Lord Jesus Christ, who was made sin, who suffered and died in the place of His people. And then listen. Look here in verse 36. Here's water. And they went on their way. A certain water, and the eunuch said, here's water. What doth hinder me be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. And he answered. Now, if there's any confusion about what Philip's been talking about all this time, from Isaiah 53, he said, if you believe, you may. Believe what? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. If you believe with all your heart, and he answered, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And in verse 38, that eunuch, he publicly confesses and identifies with the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. It's a public confession. Baptism is a public confession. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's a public confession. This is what I believe. I identify with Christ. I want to confess Him. Over in Matthew 10, He said, whosoever shall confess me before men, Him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now again, baptism is a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I'm dead to that old life. I'm buried. My sin's been put away. And we're risen. Risen to walk as new creatures. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. He said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's all my hope. He's all my salvation. And then last, look at verse 39. They were come up out of the water, The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. His rejoicing was not in the man Philip. Philip was caught away. We don't know if he ever seen him again. But listen, this eunuch had reason to rejoice. Back in Acts 8, verse 27, we read there a little bit about that eunuch. And we know this. We know that he was a man of authority. He was a man of authority. I mean, he worked for the queen. He had charge of all her treasure. He was a man of power. I think we'd look at this fellow today and we'd say, well, he's a man of power. He's a man of influence. He's a man of wealth. And in earthly terms, people might just say something like, well, that eunuch, he's got it all. He's got power. He's got wealth. He's got influence. What more could you ask for? But listen, without the gospel, without Christ, he's nothing. He's nothing. But here in verse 39, what's it say there? He went on his way. After this, he went on his way rejoicing, didn't he? God sent him a messenger. God revealed Christ to him. Through the preaching of the gospel, he revealed the Savior. He revealed the Lord Jesus Christ to this man. God gave him faith to believe, gave him a new heart, and he must confess Christ. True happiness, true rest, true joy, true hope, true salvation, it can only be found in one place. It can only be found in one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to one more passage of Scripture here. Turn back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9. Look at verse 23 of Jeremiah 9. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. He knows Christ. That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Oh, that God would give us an interest in his word. That he would continue to send forth men to declare his gospel, to preach his gospel, that gospel concerning the Lamb of God, that Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, that gospel that can only be found in the Scriptures, and that he grant us faith to believe, and reveal our need to confess him. If he's pleased to do so, I believe we'll go on like that eunuch of old. We'll go on our way rejoicing. All right. I pray God would bless his word this evening.